Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. That sound of that siren can only mean one thing. It's Thursday night, just past 8 o'clock. We had a couple technical difficulties making us start a little bit late tonight, but the theme song is going, and I'm talking, which can only mean one thing. It is time to go off the crossbar live with myself, James Jameson, your host. And that's it, really. that is all that's going on this week. Due to scheduling conflicts with the fact that the Men With No Name are going to be playing tonight, which is also a team that I'm on as well, so I guess maybe there should be a scheduling conflict for me in there as well, but there isn't at the moment, because I usually only show up about 10 minutes before game time anyway. But K-Ross, he's down a car for the night and couldn't get here in the studio. Adam O. Wells, I think he's at the arena getting dressed right now, getting himself psyched for the game. I don't know, but I know that I'm pretty much running solo for the night. But don't worry, I still got a show. I'm not quite sure what we're going to do here tonight, but hopefully it'll be fun. We've got Mrs. Jameson and little Nate Dog in studio with us. They're going to be joining us a little bit later on, talking kind of the topic of the week that's been going on over here at the Jameson household. Hopefully Big Earn's going to stop by as well. And in about 10 minutes' time, I'm just going to call K-Ross. I don't care if he said he couldn't do the show tonight. I'm just going to call him. I got his number right here, and I got free international calling all over the world, even though, you know, he's only not that far away. But hey, you know what? We're going to call him anyway. We're going to talk to him about some of the goings-on this week. Not much has happened, but, you know, free agency still happened. There was a couple signings here and there. But right now, it is time to go off the crossbar. So as I said, myself, James Jameson, I'm going to be all by my lonesome for the next little while. You might be able to hear my son in the background. He might be groaning and moaning. There you go. I heard that one. So he's probably going to be joining us throughout the night. My wife, she's actually feeding him right now, so she's a little busy. But she's going to be joining us a little bit later on, as I said, to be going over the topic of the week at the Jameson household, which has been outdoor hockey. And building an outdoor rink at home. This is, what, our third or fourth?
Third
year? Third year in this house? How many winters is this going to make?
Well, this July was 3 years that we technically own the house. September will be 3 years that we live here.
So this will be the third... This will be the third winter, basically. Yeah. Okay. So we're into our third winter here, and I had always told my lovely wife over here that the second we buy a home, the first thing I'm doing is demolishing the backyard, and I'm going to build a hockey rink back there. mainly for that guy right there that's been groaning and enjoying his dinner right now. But mainly for him, mainly for anybody that follows him in terms of future babies, but also because of me. I like hockey. I like outdoor hockey. And I like to play it whenever I can, so it'd be fun to have a rink. He is going crazy right now. It's awesome. Because we had that ball hockey room in the basement. Anybody who doesn't know this, we had almost doubled the size of our house it seemed. It was this summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was completed in October.
Oh, well, so it was last summer it started.
They started digging my birthday last year.
Okay,
it's been
so,
a full year they had started digging.
Yeah, so it's going to be almost a year that we even have this thing. Okay, my sense of time is completely stupid. we added an extension onto the back of the house, which is 17 by 35 feet, and the basement to that is one room of solid concrete, which was the greatest ball hockey room in the world until we added some, walls to it and whatnot.
Not even complete walls yet, just 2x4s and insulation.
Yeah, the kind of the support walls for a little bit of the weight that the upstairs rooms are going to take. So that was kind of my go-to de facto, hey, I just want to go play hockey for a little bit, so I'm going to go down to the basement and shoot a tennis ball around here and there and do all that kind of stuff. But I don't have that room anymore, and so I could technically go out into the street, play ball hockey that way, it's not really that easy to do at times, especially with the hours that I work. Usually if I'm home, chances are there's going to be cars driving up and down the street, and I don't want my son out there playing ball hockey in the street, even though that was something that I did just about every day for about easily 4 to 5 hours a day when I was a kid growing up. I like to think that people are a lot stupider now, especially behind the wheel of a car.
Mm.
And I'm sure my wife will agree with me on that one. She's she's very protective of her little guy.
Of course.
She doesn't want anything bad happening to him right now, or ever, I guess you could say. So you do support my, hey, I want to destroy our backyard to put a, or not our whole backyard.
I like the idea because it was going to be a permanent structure. So in the winter, it'd be hockey. And in the summer, it'd be anything that you'd play in the driveway. Basketball, playing with the chalk, whatever. So especially since I have clients coming to the house, there's constantly going to be cars in our driveway coming in and out. And this way, it gives him a secured driveway area for him to play.
Yeah, because you're a hairdresser, Corner Cuts. Hey, if cornercuts.ca, if you're ever looking for a good haircut. The one and only true sponsor that we have, because in exchange for the commercials that we play for you, you let us use your salon as a studio whenever we need it. So that's always a good thing. Kind of tonight, we're taking a little bit of a break from all the NHL talk and all that kind of stuff, because really, nothing much has gone on. Today, surprise, surprise, Team Solani signed for 1 year. I believe it was $4.5 million to stay in Anaheim. Is that really a shocker to anybody here at this point? Totally deserving. Guy's a fantastic hockey player. Loves the city of Anaheim. And, I'm sure he'll keep signing one-year deals up until the point where he's ready to just say, you know what? I'm good. I don't think I need to come back. I do think it. I don't want to say it sucks for him because he's stuck in Anaheim because he's not necessarily stuck there. He could technically go wherever he wants. But I don't see Anaheim getting back to where they were in 2007 anytime soon. So I don't think he's got a shot at any kind of championship between here and the time that he retires, which I'm thinking this might be his last year. Possibly. Who knows? I know there's a lot of people that would love to see him end up in Winnipeg for one last year, head back up to there, but I don't think it'd be the same. If Team Solani's not playing for the Winnipeg Jets, I'd personally like to see him stay away from Winnipeg. Because he is a Winnipeg Jet and an Anaheim Duck. I don't care if anybody wants to say, oh, well, he played in Colorado for a bit. I don't care. We like to forget those years, and I'm sure he'd like to forget those years as well. I just remember how much he did not like the idea of going to Anaheim when he was traded. When he was traded from Winnipeg over to Anaheim, he was pretty upset. And now the guy loves the city, doesn't want to leave. So, good on him for signing that contract. It's about 8:10 right now, and I'm trying to think if K-Ross will let me call him. I don't know if he will. I could try calling, and he could maybe not answer the phone, because me being alone this week, I've decided that the normal audio cast that I would have normally done on, say, Tuesday or Wednesday and put up on the website, I said, hey, I'm the only one that's going to be there on Thursday, so I'm just going to do it then, which was my idea talking about the outdoor rinks. And one guy that I know who specifically built his own outdoor rink this past winter was K. Ross himself. He showed me a couple pictures of the thing. It looked amazing. I believe it took up, I don't even know, maybe about half of his his backyard at this point. I'm not 100% sure.
Online.
What was it? We do need to put the pictures up on the website. Hopefully, you can hear the dialing right now.
Hello?
Hey, is this K. Ross?
This is K. Ross. Is this is Mr. Jameson?
You mean this is K. Ross from Off the Crossbar?
Yes, sir, it is.
Awesome stuff.
How you doing today?
Live on the air right now.
Fantastic, fantastic. I was listening in until just a few minutes ago when I decided I'd be one of those idiots listening
to himself speak twice.
Oh, that'd be so good, though. I could tell.
Yeah,
I could yell
at
you to turn down your radio. It'd be great. So, dude, we're talking. Well, not much right now because I'm still alone here. But now that you've joined the show, I want to know all about your outdoor rink because I saw pictures of it. I was not lucky enough to come out and join you guys for any of the outdoor hockey nights that you had. But this thing was pretty big. How'd you go about doing that thing, man?
I was actually lucky enough. To have a fenced-in yard on three sides. So what I did was I have got a 40-foot by 40-foot hockey rink in my backyard during the winter months. So I've got basically 8-foot by 2-foot or 2.5-foot reinforced sections of particle board, each staked into the ground every 18 inches. This all has to be done, obviously, before your ground is frozen. Driving those stakes in was a pain as it is. I would certainly not recommend waiting until December to do that. Then it's basically 18 to 24 tarps. I forget how many. Lots of duct tape, lots of painter's plastic. Line the whole thing and fill it on up very, very slowly.
So, 'cause my debate here that I'm kind of having internally is whether to make this a permanent structure or something that we can take down and, you know, have the full yard and whatnot throughout the year, or to kind of make it into a ball hockey rink in the summer. And so the stakes in the ground with the particle board, that's not something that you could have left up all year round, right?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, I actually do have it left up on three walls. As I mentioned, my yard is fenced in quite nicely. So I actually have the boards running along, basically just slapped up against the fence. I took down the one set of boards that goes sort of directly perpendicular to my lawn. But as long as you weather treat it, I mean, you basically have to store them outside anyway. I'm not lucky enough to have a giant garage like our other co-host who's missing in action, Adam Orson Wells. They were basically out there anyway, so I just went ahead and left them up and put some weather treating on them.
So it's almost a full-time rink kind of thing.
Yeah, well, it's not like we're playing hockey on it. Obviously, it's just grass right now in the wintertime. But when it does come time to rebuild, all I'm going to have to do is probably drive 5 or 6 stakes into the ground across one length of my lawn and put the plastic back down, and then, like I said, it's the real pain is the slow filling up. I know your backyard and most backyards probably aren't the proper shape to hold up boards 3 seasons of the year like mine is. I did get pretty lucky.
Yeah, and so, because I've never actually built a rink in my own backyard. I know my dad has built several in the backyards that I had growing up as a kid. But we always just, you know, packed down snow on top of the grass anyway and just watered it from there. You had the whole plastic thing going on. How did that work out for you?
You know what? It actually went well. I did learn a few lessons for this coming year. Basically, to be patient enough to wait for it to really get cold enough. Otherwise, the plastic will leak slowly. it's got to be weighted down. It's got to be done properly. I remember building rinks. It's funny, just like you said, with my dad as a kid, and really just, you know, sort of standing there with a hose, doing the best we could to flood the yard. Luckily, the internet has opened up some other people's research to me when I was able to get started there. It's really just about the patience, getting that plastic down and getting it, basically filling in the deep spots of your lawn, and then putting an eighth of an inch of ice at a time on top. You're doing very little more than a Zamboni, because you will get the ice that fractures as it breaks. If you just put a thick layer of water, what will happen is the surface will freeze first, and then the water will flow out from underneath that to the deeper parts, and you'll be left with that sort of crunchy ice that you get on top of puddles when you walk down the street in the wintertime.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you've really got to have the hose set to, like, mist. You've got to be putting down very, very thin layers, and at, honestly, the least convenient times you could possibly imagine. It needs to be between negative 5 and negative 10 or 12, no warmer, no colder. And that's usually from 8 p.m. to 12 p.m. Here in Montreal when you hit the dead of winter. So it's not really a lot of fun for the 10 days, let's say, that you're putting the ice down.
Yeah, because I see that's – I've already learned a little bit something right there, because I honestly would have just gone out and put, you know, 4 inches of water.
Well, and you know what? I actually did the first time. I don't mean to sound like an expert at all. I actually had to go out there and break all of the crunchy ice that I had created. Because just unless you have a perfectly level surface, that water is just going to flow to the deeper spots. And sometimes that's going to take a while. And then what you get is, you know, worst case is you put another layer of ice on top of that. Because then as soon as you start to skate, your ice is actually going to crack right down to the ground where that air bubble is, because you don't have enough support underneath it.
Oh, jeez.
It is a bit of a technique. I have a feeling I may be spending some time at your house this winter, James.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it whatsoever. But because one of the other issues that I'm trying to think of here is draining. Once it's all, you know, because obviously winter has to end. And if you
have
this large block of ice essentially sitting in your backyard, if you're using the plastic sheets to kind of keep all that water in, yeah, you said that it'll have the slow drain and whatnot if it doesn't freeze over properly. But does that immediately just flood your backyard once it really hits that, like, oh, hey, guess what? It's not winter anymore.
Well, you know what? I was actually very worried about the same thing, because that's what I was thinking as I was putting the water down is, wow, you know, like, I've been out here for hours with the hose. Like, if I did this in the middle of summer, I would be flooding my yard, the neighbor's yard, and probably two or three houses down. But, you know, we live in Canada, and we're pretty lucky in that our ground is pretty much designed for drainage. If you think about it, there are, I mean, millions of tons of snow everywhere when the winter comes that starts to melt down. There were other people who had voiced a lot of concerns about where all that water was going to go, but to be honest with you, it evaporated at about the same rate as the giant piles of snow in everybody else's yard. Springtime in Canada, there's an eight-week period there where it's just mud, and that's what it is. It didn't flood my basement. It certainly didn't cause any damage to my lawn. The weeds have come back just fine this summer. It's actually worked out pretty well. I had no issues with drainage at all, in so much as the spring is muddy anyway. It wasn't any more so than normal, and it did just evaporate off, much the same as heavy snowfall would.
Okay, that's putting some ease for mine here, because I know for my yard, I'm about... I'll be generous and say 2 feet higher than everybody else around me.
I have a feeling your neighbor's yards end up a little muddier than yours in the springtime anyway. I don't think it's going to be the rink that makes a difference. Like I said, if you think about the amount of just snow that it takes to cover a yard, when that all melts at the end of winter, you've got a mess on your hands anyway.
Yeah, and I'm always just worried that, because, you know, as I said, I've never done this before. I was just worried that maybe the rink would just add that little bit extra to the point where all of your neighbors are going, you suck.
You know what? No, and I actually have to say that the neighbors on our right-hand side in particular take very good care of their lawn. If it had done any kind of damage whatsoever, I'm certain I would have heard about it. He really babies his lawn quite a bit, and there was no accumulated damage. It may have been a little extra spongy for a few days, but to be perfectly honest with you, within a week of the snow and the ice being visibly gone, by the time the rest of the ground was dry, all of my backyard was dry and there was no issues at all.
All right, so you lay down the plastic, because
you've got to seam that with duct tape. There can be no links. It's got to be. I went with three layers of duct tape gone sort of lengthwise across each seam. And that was probably one of the most time-consuming parts, other than putting down the water, is making sure you have as waterproof a seal as possible there.
All right. And that was that the first step, or was the first step the boards?
I put the boards up first because they have a tendency to clip in at different measurements. I wanted to make sure I was able to get the space covered, which is why I actually had the painter's plastic. I actually didn't have enough tarp, so I just ran out and got one of those giant rolls of clear plastic that you can buy from Home Hardware and duct taped that right in, and then stapled all of that up along probably 4 to 5 inches up on the boards, because, of course, once the ice was in, it was a good 8 inches thick anyway.
All right, cool. So, you know, you put down your plastic, you put down your boards, mm-hmm. then you start to water it, and you're... Very important, as you've noted, and as Biggern sent me a text, as Biggern is listening right now, he said he is totally right. You have to do thin layers at a time.
Oh, yeah. It makes all of the difference. It really is. That's the absolute key, is the thin layers. And honestly, it will freeze quickly. You have to put in your hours. You have to put in your time because, I mean, you will be out there probably you'll need 3 or 4 hours a night to commit to it. You're probably out there every 30 to 45 minutes putting down another thin layer, depending on how cold it is. You want to be on it as quickly as possible. It eats your life for a week. There's no way around it. You're not getting much done for those 4 or 5 days. But once it's in, if you've done it right, it will be a solid base that will last you the length of the winter.
And so that was actually my next question here, was it took you 4 or 5 days, or like the full week, or...
Yeah, once I figured out what I was doing, to be perfectly honest with you, it was a learning experience. This was my first winter doing it. So I probably messed it up for 4 or 5 days, trying to get the water right and things like that. Once I'd figured out what I needed to be doing for how cold it was here, it was 4 or 5 nights of consecutive hard work. And you need the temperature to be right as well. But, then it lasted. I mean, I think we skated on it 2 weeks into March was the last time. We had it in the yard for quite some time.
So you got some good use out of it then, because that's another one of my worries, though, because, yeah, okay, we live in Canada, we live here in Montreal, and, you know, you'll hear all the jokes about cold winters and everything like that, but sometimes they're really not that cold, or you'll get, like, humid days where for some reason it's just kind of warm, and I'm semi-hesitant about the whole thing because it's like, okay, well, I can go put in 2 weeks of labor to get this stupid rink up, but then if I only get to use it for 6 days.
I wouldn't worry about that. Honestly, as long as you're willing to put in the upkeep, and that is really key. I mean, when it snows, you have to get it cleared off because the worst thing that can happen to you is that it will, in fact, snow even lightly and then be a little bit warmer the next day. Because then what will happen is the surface of your water will thaw just a little bit, draw that snow in, and then you get more of that crunchy sort of top layer, impossible. And it will basically ruin everything that you've worked for, and then you're another 3 or 4 days worth of heavy flooding away from being able to deal with that.
Okay, cool. So once it's all set up and running, after you've gone through the initial freeze and you've got that good base and it's like, okay, you know what, we can go skate on it here and there. Mm-hmm. After it's set up, are you still flooding it every night, like giving it that nice little extra layer, or are you letting it go for a couple days and then going back out there?
Well, if it's just me out there shooting pucks, and again, like, we've got the full setup, right? Like, I had halogen floodlights at two corners of mine, illuminating it for nighttime use. I've got the big, you know, 15-foot net behind the hockey net so that we're not losing any pucks over the fence. But so we were using it pretty hard for a while. And if you get three or four guys out playing a nighttime game and really digging in, I know Scott McQuatt in particular was really hard on my ice when he would skate. He's a heavy, strong skater. You do have to flood it after every use. You'll probably get 3.5 hours to 4 hours of good, solid 2-on-2 play out of the rink before it needs to be flooded. But if it's just me shooting pucks, I would often go 3, sometimes 4 days without having to do it. When you're cutting hard, you know, stick handling around guys, digging for pucks in the corner, it takes a lot more abuse than if you're just out firing pucks into an empty net.
All right, so it's not going to just completely, once it's all set up, you can relax a little bit then.
Oh, yeah, you absolutely do get to relax. It's really just the heavy snowfalls and getting the snow off of the ice surface. That's your main upkeep. Other than that, I mean, listen, the ice is going to be choppy. It's outdoor ice. At its best, it's as good as a bad arena. So, I mean, I would recommend going to play it against sports or going to a secondhand sports store and picking up a $20 pair of outdoor skates. I highly recommend that. That's actually what I did as well, because the ice will chew apart your blades pretty quickly and leave you with lots of dings and dents.
Did you ever at any point use the snow to help maybe create a base to kind of, you know, water down a thin layer of snow to freeze that and then go on top?
I would honestly recommend against it. It was an idea that had occurred to me as well. But what happens is the slush, because it will hold form a little bit easier, you will often have slush with air pockets in it. And then you get into that same layer of crunchy ice where it's just a little bit more brittle when it freezes because it has a tendency to freeze just a little differently. If you get any serious weight or any serious dips or in your lawn or even bumps in your lawn, having the snow on top of that can cause some real issues. It'll definitely take you a little longer to do it with pure water, but it's worth putting in the time. It's really one of those projects where if you cut a corner, it will show up in the end. And, I mean, I highly recommend just taking the time to put down the layers you need to in the beginning. You'll save yourself a lot of headaches.
It's funny that we're sitting here talking the proper way to make ice, yet, you know, you'll find it on the sidewalks or in the middle of the street on the highway every winter.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. But, I mean, it's all about that consistency and about being able to, let's say, you're not going to find many 40 by 40 foot patches of that naturally occurring stuff. It's tough to get anything more than a foot by a foot.
Yeah. So, you know, you've seen the size of my backyard here. It's a pretty good size.
Oh, more than enough room for a great size rink, that's for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, my wife will be on the show a little bit later on as we're going to discuss how the rink may partake and whatnot. But as of right now, the dimensions that I'm looking at are 21.25 feet by 50 feet.
Excellent.
That's what we're looking at here. And now is when I'm starting to get into the debate of whether it would be a good idea to go as a full-time rink. Like, as somebody who's made boards before, you know, with your particle boards and all that kind of stuff, like, if I'm going to make a serious hockey rink here, like, and when I say serious, that size, as I did the math on, is exactly 1/4 of a regulation NHL rink. And so that'd be really, really good for 2-on-2 hockey. And that's kind of my goal here. I got the mini nets. I got all that stuff set up. So really hoping to work something proper out of this. And I'm looking for that real board. Like, I don't know how they make boards for hockey arenas and whatnot, but your particle board that you used, would you consider that good enough for hard, like real 2-on-2 play? Like guys actually going for it?
I would recommend, and what I plan on doing at the beginning of this winter is reinforcing the end boards. I actually have put 2 slap shots clean through my end boards, but in terms of just gameplay, bouncing off of each other, sort of making plays up and down the boards. As long as you weather treat it and don't let it dry rot, the key is going to be to get a good coat of weather treatment on there so that it doesn't absorb any moisture during the rink making process, because if it starts to rot out from the middle, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and then, you know, even Roberto could put a slap shot through it.
Well, let's not go to extremes.
Oh, it's always fun to make fun of Roberto.
He'd have to hit the boards first. I kid, of course.
True. He would totally have to hit them first. See, my wife doesn't know what you're saying right now, so I have to semi-repeat your joke for her.
Oh, well, that's okay.
I'm
much more charming secondhand anyway.
So if you were in my position right now, and you're building the permanent rink,
yeah.
What would your base be?
Base in terms of
like because obviously you put down the plastic sheets and whatnot, but that's because you're taking them away. And here's a debate that I've been having with a couple people who are also thinking of putting in. Maybe not necessarily full-time rinks, but kind of also thinking about it because I want to hopefully be able to use it for ball hockey in the summer and whatnot. So I'm thinking that has to be some kind of like cement, concrete, whatever you want to say, base. But can you make a good enough, you know, because I've gone to play hockey at parks before that are made on top of basketball courts, and you always see that patch where it's like, okay, well, you can't skate over there because, oh, if you skate over there, you're going to basically be skating over the concrete that's underneath because the ice isn't enough. Like, can you make a thick enough ice in your backyard to not have to worry about that?
To be perfectly honest with you, that's a little bit outside of my realm of expertise. I know that in, you know, daydreaming and pipe dreaming and sort of building my fantasy house in my head, I've done some research into an outdoor permanent structure, which is essentially the surface of a roller hockey rink, which would be either concrete or cement coated with either a rubber coating or a layer of rubber tiling, which is completely weatherproof and designed for drainage. But that also requires a rooftop in the summertime, which isn't necessarily a freestanding structure, but just enough to keep a lot of the direct sunlight off of it, because that will, of course, just sort of melt a lot of the binding agents. So if I was going permanent structure in a world with an unlimited budget, I would certainly look at an outdoor roller hockey surface as option number one, with that sort of rubberized flooring, almost like the dressing rooms or the locker rooms of arenas that we play in quite often.
Yeah, that seems pretty interesting. Because
again, very expensive, but
yeah, that's another issue here because I don't know what the cost of all this stuff is. You know, I'm just throwing out ideas here, and this is what I was thinking. And do you have much experience roller hockeying?
Yeah, you know what? I played three seasons, I suppose, of roller hockey down south in Atlanta.
Okay, so I'm going to pose this question to you on this one then, because you'll probably be really good and able to tell me.
The cheapest
idea that I can have, that I can think of, because obviously once you set up the boards, I was thinking of putting down that concrete base, but getting that much concrete for that big of an area could be kind of pricey.
Sure, yeah.
So what I'm thinking of doing is kind of getting those large, like perfectly square patio stones and putting those down as a base. But granted, when you put those down, you're going to have the natural, because they're not perfectly, perfectly square, so you might have like the tiny little gaps or whatever in between. And I know if you're going to be rolling over those on rollerblades, that's going to suck. Obviously, if you're just on feet, that's fine. But I was thinking, as you can hear my son sneeze in the background, one of the things that I was thinking, and if you or any of the listeners, because that's pretty much all this is me throwing up my ideas, and if anybody, you...
looking for advice.
Has an opinion or a comment on this, please let me know on this one. James@offthecrossbar.com. It'll be greatly appreciated. I wanted to kind of grout in between with like a form of really fine, smooth cement. Do you think that would work?
I think it would work, James, but I think you're probably looking at a little bit more of an inclusive process than you realize. You have recently built a deck onto your home, correctly?
We have not built the deck yet.
Okay, so I assume then that you had to do some digging out beneath that?
Not really, no. They just kind of put...
Yours is probably a little bit higher off the ground. So anyway, anyone who's built a ground level deck will be sort of familiar with this process. What you would have to do, I assume, is dig out the section where you would want your rink placed to probably a depth of 3 or 4 inches, and have that ground leveled as best you possibly can. Then you're going to need probably 2 truckloads or 1.5 truckloads of fine gravel to fill that space. And you're going to have to get all that down before you can lay down your flat stones. That's going to ensure that you have a flat, smooth surface that provides even resistance, and you won't get it sort of leaning and kicking up in corners of those individual squares. Then you would probably be okay to sort of seam all of that together and put some sort of top coat down on top of it. It's quite a pain to do that digging and to get that leveled out. I actually put a flat a deck into our backyard last summer, and it's probably 20 feet by 15 feet. And it was a good solid 3 days' work to dig that out and get the gravel in. So if you're looking at putting in a large enough area for the rink, that would probably be your best option in terms of making sure you're absolutely level and don't have to go back and haul everything up and fix it every summer. But again, you're looking at some cost and some time up front.
So would you maybe recommend more just trying to make a concrete base with none of the flat patio stones or anything like that? Or
I think you would get your highest quality result. I really do. I would suggest that, and again, you'll probably have to have that dug out and leveled. I mean, you can most likely do that yourself with tools that you either probably have or, worst case scenario, could rent for a weekend. But you are going to have to make sure that that's level, and then you're going to have to probably bring in a crew to just pour the concrete and make sure it sets correctly.
That was one of the great things about the work that we just did on the backyard. They supposedly leveled it.
Oh, well, then you should supposedly be okay.
There's obviously the new grass there right now, so that's going to have to come up. But from what I was told, it's fairly level back there now.
Excellent. Well, that'll probably save you a good deal if you've just had it done. Then you're probably just looking, like I said, at digging to a depth of 2 or 3 inches and laying down your boards and pouring them in.
Yeah, I think one of the base and all that stuff isn't always my main concern. My main concern is usually the boards and what the hell to do with those, because I don't know how to build boards.
Well, to be honest with you, it's really, depending on the height that you want, there isn't even much cutting involved. It's a fairly simple process of just making sure that it's reinforced. You want to make sure you get sort of the X-shape crisscross across the backside of as many of the boards as possible. And be willing to do the small maintenance going forward. I mean, at the end of the day, this is an at-home project where the boards connect. You're going to have some separation every winter as they freeze and unfreeze or as they're exposed to summertime heat. So just be willing to go in and patch them and not let it fall apart. Be willing to put in the 1 or 2 hours a week of upkeep that it will require to really get the use out of the life of your rink, and you'll be fine. I mean, this was my first time doing it, and with really basic Googling, basic internet research, I was able to come up with some really good techniques and put together a really high quality product. Like I said, the ice in my backyard was at least 8 to 10 inches thick all winter, and we probably got a good 40 hours of use out of it minimum. And that's just with the 2-on-2 gameplay or the, you know, sticking at him in the net and firing pucks at him while we feed him beers and watch him get progressively slower and slower.
I hear they're thinking of making that the new national pastime.
Shooting pucks at Adam while he gets slower and slower?
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, so, I've learned a bunch so far in the little while that you've been here. So
awesome.
And thanks for accepting the call, man.
Hey, you know what? It's somebody's got to run this show.
I'll put you on the line. Some stuff did kind of happen this week in the NHL. As I mentioned at the start of the show, Teemu Selänne signed today.
Absolutely. And did you see the video that they used to announce that signing?
I think I have it right here on TSN.
Check that out I believe they originally posted on the Anaheim Ducks website where he's sitting at the office job and the intern brings him the stack of paper. It's Teemu, you need to get to this before the day is out. And he just said, you know what? Screw this. I'm going back to playing hockey.
Oh, awesome. Man, definitely going to have to watch that. If we can find, maybe we'll try and post it up on the Off the Crossbar website. But
definitely should. And also, we'll get all those. I've got the photos of my rink in the making. It's a 7-step photo process that I've got it at every step of the way, including the shooting beers at a drunken Adam. So we'll have to check that out.
I think that's going to be a nice segment to come. The what the hell is James doing in his backyard this winter? That'll be a nice weekly check-in that we'll have right there.
I look forward to it.
But yeah, so not too many huge signings or anything like that. You know, obviously we still don't know what's going on with Rick Nash. Although a report did come out and say he 100% is not going to a Canadian team. I know.
Yeah, apparently he is down to 6 teams and none of them are Canadian.
Yeah, I know. Was it you or Adam that was suggesting Vancouver?
That would be me that suggested it would be a perfect fit. There was never any rumor linking to, and I certainly didn't mean to imply that I had any inside knowledge.
Yeah.
I just thought that they had the movable commodities that Columbus would be looking for and a need for a big-time first-line winger. So.
Yeah, it's definitely something that Columbus could use. And obviously Vancouver could use a little bit more scoring than what the Sedins can offer them because they can't play 60 minutes of the game. But today the Canadiens signed Aaron Paluchai. Is that how you
pronounce it? Yes.
Yeah, Paluchai, there you go. What do you think of that one? 2-year contract? Do you know anything about this guy?
Yeah, well, I mean, we know he's been up and down through the system. It was a two-way contract that he signed this year, so it's really just another depth signing by the Canadiens. He's a guy who can jump into your third line, maybe your second line if you need him. Offensive player, a little bit undersized, great speed. I mean, it's a typical Montreal Canadiens MO. But just a good, solid depth move. He's a guy who really will help out in Hamilton and definitely has the ability to come in and play, you know, 12 to 15 minutes at the NHL level and not look out of place. Very versatile player. You can use him on I wouldn't get him on the power play. You can use him to kill penalties. He will play second, third line minutes. So I think it's a good move. Just sort of a housekeeping maneuver, if anything. You know, it's not the Nash trade, but it's news.
Other signings this week, one guy who I've never been a fan of, but I'm sure the city that he's played in his entire career, I'm sure they love him. Chris Neal got a 3-year extension, actually.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of that signing. I think Chris Neal is the prototypical new NHL tough guy. He's a guy who's got, 30 to 40 point potential. Not afraid to stick up for his teammates. Another guy who really kills penalties well. He's a very strong skater, particularly for a tough guy. And he brings an element to a team that is missing a lot in today's game. He's got that toughness. He's got that tenacity. And to be honest with you, I have been a fan of Chris Neal, despite being a fan of a division rival of the Ottawa Senators.
Really? I can't stand this guy. I find...
You know what? The measuring stick for me is Claude Lemieux, and I don't hate him nearly that much. So,
well, I think there's a lot of people that you could hate a lot less than Claude Lemieux.
Well, exactly, and like I said, Mike Richards are probably my ultimate measuring stick for guys in the NHL I just want to backhand across the face.
Okay, so here's one which is. Interesting, I'll say the least, because, you know, for as much as I rag on them, obviously, the San Jose Sharks here on this one, I don't watch too many of their games. I really don't want to put myself through that. But today they announced they re-signed Marc-Edouard Vlasic, but at $4.25 million a year over the next 5 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually hadn't seen that news. What was he making before?
Before, I'm not 100% sure. I'll go double check that one right now. But I don't know. Is this his actual worth, or is this more some kind of weird inflation that's been going on in the NHL this off season and over the last couple of years.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it surprises me. I mean, I know he's
making 3.7 last year.
Yeah, so I mean, that's about where I would put him, to be perfectly honest with you. To see him jump up to, what did you say, 4.25 or 4.5?
4.25. And in all 82 games last year, he had 4 goals and 19 assists. 23 points gets you $4.25 million in the NHL this year.
Well, I mean, obviously he's certainly not going to be running your power play. He is a stay-at-home defenseman. I think what you're seeing here is a very recent trend, which is the value of defensemen over the course of the last, you know, calendar year in the National Hockey League has just skyrocketed. There seems to be an influx, a wave of offensive talent in the league right now, and therefore, by comparison, you're seeing a shortage of defensive ability. $4.25 million for a guy who's got, 125 career points, 133. I've just brought his profile up here now.
I was thinking if that was a shot in the dark, holy crap, dude.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, completely shot in the dark. That's just a gut feeling. And I'm not sure. Maybe he's still, listen, is he still getting paid for his earlier performance? There was a point where he was coming into the league. I know his rookie season, you know, 25 points. There was a year he had 36. Realistically, he's a 20-point guy and probably will be for the rest of his career.
Yeah, well, if you look at his last three seasons, though, 16 points. And I was mistaken. He actually made 3.5 last year. He's going to be making 3.7 this year. And this was a contract extension. So this contract only goes into effect at the start of next year.
You know what? It's tough to tell when it comes to defensive defensemen, when it comes to your prototypical stay-at-home guys, unless you're watching a ton of the games. Maybe he is that good. I mean, I don't see it. Again, I'm in the same boat as you are, James. I don't watch a lot of San Jose Sharks hockey outside of the highlight packages, obviously them being, you know, starting their games at 11 o'clock Eastern time a lot of the time. It's tough, but that's a lot of money for a shutdown defenseman. I don't know that I'd be happy if my team paid it.
Yeah.
And San Jose Sharks, they continue their cycle of questionable signings, let's say.
Yeah, and as you said, a stay-at-home shutdown defenseman, not the best one.
And certainly not from what I've seen.
Yeah, no. I've seen, in the few games that I have seen, I don't want to say constant mistakes from him, but I have seen multiple.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're hoping he comes into his own. I mean, look, as a defenseman in the National Hockey League, you sort of settle in your own skin around the age of, you know, 24, 25, 26. He's right at that point right now. Maybe they're seeing a turn in his game. I know his name has been out there for a little while in terms of the defenseman to watch in the coming years. This is going to be a make-or-break year. I'm really surprised that they would sign him to that extension now, as opposed to waiting to see how the last year of his contract played out. But if he goes out and he puts up 40 points this year, it's going to cost you $5.5 million to keep him on staff. It's a calculated risk. Maybe they know what they're doing. It seems a little risky in terms of what I would do. But as I said, the premium right now is on defensemen. They are hard to come by and even harder to keep.
Yeah, and, you know, let's not think this guy, you know, he's a super seasoned veteran. He is only 25 years old. However, he has played 6 seasons in the NHL, so it's not like he's new to the league or anything like that. So,
no, that's true. But, I mean, maybe all the more reason for them to know what they've got or to feel that they know what they've got.
Yeah, you know, maybe San Jose knew what – I don't know. My hatred for the Sharks on this one, it still doesn't look like it's all that great. And on top of that – according to CapGeek.com, one of the known clauses in the contract is a no-trade clause.
It is a no-trade. Interesting, because I was about to say maybe getting him under contract at a given particular price, knowing what you've got, is part of a package with this big rumored deal with Nash looking at San Jose. Vlasic, at the age of 25, turning the corner on being a stay-at-home defenseman, would be a very nice defensive partner for somebody like Jack Johnson, who, of course, Columbus picked up in the Carter trade halfway through last season. With a no-trade clause in there? I'm just going to have to bang my head off the wall if I'm trying to figure out what the Sharks are thinking on this one. I would never have given him that clause.
Don't forget, the no-trade clause only comes into effect 2013.
Oh, well, then maybe there you go. Maybe.
In theory, maybe there's some kind of backdoor conspiracy going on here where Columbus...
Well, it's a sign and trade. I mean, we see it very often in the NBA. It's far less common in the National Hockey League, but it does happen. Teams want to know that they're going to get, and especially with a younger guy headed to a rebuilding team, they want to make sure that their investment is going to be there for the long term. Maybe that's how they did it. Maybe they wanted a dollar figure on it, and that's what they were able to arrive at. And maybe it's Columbus that's overvaluing this kid and not the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, no, like you're bringing up a really good point on that one. Now that it's out there, I could see him being a part of a San Jose Sharks, Columbus Blue Jackets, let's get rich over here trade.
Well, especially if he's under contract through the 2017-2018 season, that's...
With
you know what?
Clause.
If that happens, remember that you heard it here first. If that doesn't happen, forget I said anything.
And that's one of the more credible rumors that I think we could start.
Awesome. Good. Then it's considered started. I'm putting my name on it. Mark Edward Vlasic to the Columbus Blue Jackets as part of the Rick Nash deal.
Well, hey, you know what? It's a pretty good... I would say that's a pretty good call.
I'd like to see it happen. I really would.
I don't know who else would go in that trade, though.
Oh, that's tough. I mean, there's every name on the roster other than Joe Thornton at this point that's been mentioned in that deal.
Honestly, if you're San Jose, why are you banking so much on Jumbo Joe?
Well, the idea is simply being that if you're going to bring in a trigger man, well, you'd better have somebody there to set him up. I would say that that's probably one of the main reasons that Nash has San Jose on that list, is the opportunity to go play with an elite playmaker. Rumor has it, and again, purely rumor, pure speculation, that it's actually Logan Couture who the Blue Jackets are looking to get off that roster. That's going to be a tough sell. Couture obviously has a lot of years left in the league and still is nowhere near his ceiling in terms of where his potential lies. I think that might be the stopping point right now, in much the same way that a lot of the younger players are becoming the hot commodities because of, obviously, their contractual status and because of the fact that this is becoming a young players' league.
Yeah, it is definitely slowly, maybe not slowly, but it's starting to make that turn over to the youngers, which, hey, as an Oilers fan, gotta love that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? On that note, I'm going to give myself a little shameless plug. This is not what we had discussed earlier in the week, but I've actually changed my article for this week taking a look at the parallels between the current Edmonton Oilers having the three number one draft picks consecutively and the only other team to have ever been in that position, which were, of course, the Quebec Nordiques of the late 1980s and early 1990s. Some very interesting parallels going on there, and the more I looked at that situation in Quebec at that time, and of course as it progressed into the Colorado situation, really interesting stuff going on there. You would never think that getting rid of players such as Matt Sundin, Owen Nolan, and Eric Lindros would be so good for a franchise. To lose three potential Hall of Famers, depending on, well, maybe not Nolan, and depending on where Lindros ends up, but three guys right on the cusp, and to come out so far ahead in the deal is an unbelievably rare circumstance. So check that out on offthecrossbar.com tomorrow before lunchtime. I should have that up.
Awesome stuff, and I'm still not cool with Matt Sundin being in the Hall of Fame, but that's me.
Again, not yet. As we said last week, I'm cool with him getting in. He's done some amazing things, but when you talk about first ballot, that's a pretty special nod, and I don't think a guy without a Stanley Cup can get that first ballot nod.
Yeah, no, I'm totally okay with that. And as my little brother J5 said, a guy like Guy Carboneau with three Stanley Cups, captaining the Canadiens to one of them, and three Selke trophies under his belt, and he's never even mentioned.
Exactly. And I, you know what, I think that's a fantastic point. When you told me your brother had made that point, I think that draws it up perfectly. If you want a side-by-side comparison, you know, it comes down to, and actually sort of a topic for discussion for next week, I think Orson Welles just pulled into my driveway here to head out to the rink soon. But LaDainian Tomlinson's comments this week that he would rather be in the Hall of Fame than win a championship. And that's a debate I would love to have with you guys. I'd love to hear those thoughts. So make sure you tune in next week and check that out.
Wait, Adam said that?
No, LaDainian Tomlinson said that of NFL fame.
Okay, I was like,
Adam is the person who just pulled into my driveway to pick me up for our hockey game this evening.
Okay, yeah. No, because I know Adam was working on something Hall of Fame-wise for this week as well. So I wasn't quite
sure. Yes, he was, yeah. He was doing a Hall of Fame summary of the three guys that were just put in to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and so, well, we just made that, the comment about the young man's game and whatnot, not to be a horrible segue here, but to talk about an old man's game. It was announced this week that the Winter Classic this year is going to be having two alumni games.
Two alumni. I love that, actually. I think that's a great announcement.
Well, yeah, because if you think about it, Detroit and Toronto.
They've got some history.
Some history, to say the least. It would be hard to fit all of that history into one game.
Well, it would be, and I think you'd end up leaving out too many players is the issue. I'd like to see it split along the age lines, to be perfectly honest with you. I'd like to see the guys, the Delvecchios and the Howes, sort of playing against their generation. And then I'd also like to see, you know, the Eisermans and the Cicerellis up against the Gilmores and the Clarks of the world. I just think that'd be fantastic.
That would be a lot of fun. You get like the old timers game, and then you get the not
the new old timers game.
Yeah, you get one of those. I think that's a really good idea, and I like that they are doing the two games. I think that's going to be. I think that's a really interesting idea to kind of celebrate those two teams.
Well, and I think what it also does is it gives a lot of fans in the city of Detroit access to the event. You can go and be a part of the event. So you can't afford the ticket to the Winter Classic, excuse me. So for less than a third of that cost, you can go down to the field, see it converted into an ice hockey rink, see legends of the NHL, you know, live and in person, and really be a part of the festivity of that weekend. It's one of the few events that the NHL has that would really rival the sort of excitement and atmosphere of an NFL game. And to be able to extend that to a greater percentage of the population and sort of, you know, add 50% more people to the ticket who will get to experience that live outdoor hockey game and really reconnect to the sport in its natural environment, I think that's an awesome plan. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and it's funny here because I'm looking at some of the names that are being thrown out, and maybe it's just me personally and my feelings on Toronto. But I often feel like if you have a good enough season in Toronto, you get vaulted to that, not necessarily superstar status, but you get vaulted to a status better than you probably actually should have.
Oh, absolutely.
And, I'm looking here and they're saying, you know, for Detroit, guys like Gordie Howe, Ted Lindsay, Chris Chelios, Larry Murphy, Luke Robitaille, Dino Cicerelli, Mark Howe, Alex Vecchio, Chris Osgood, Mike Vernon, you know, those are some names. And then General Manager Ken Holland even throw in, oh, yeah, we're going to bring out the four members of the grind line, Chris Draper, Kirk Maltby, Darren McCarty, and Joe Koser.
What are they going to do in an alumni game? They have to fight each other.
But then you look at some of the Toronto guys, and, you know, no offense to these guys, you know, obviously Daryl Sittler. Hey, yeah.
Yeah, one of the all-time greats.
Of course. Rick Vive. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but
then yeah.
This is the part where it gets me. The next two names. Darcy Tucker and Felix Potvin.
Hey, Felix Botvin had his moments.
He did, but...
He did. He really did. He was the best goaltender on earth for at least 2 weeks.
I like it. But so, yeah, I don't know. Darcy Tucker, yeah. I'm sure Mats is going to come back for this one. He's got
it. Yeah, he's been itching for a chance to come back for a while. I look forward to seeing it. I really do.
Other guys for Toronto, you've got Dave Andrechuk, Curtis Joseph, Johnny Bower, Ron Ellis, Jim McKinney.
Johnny Bower, really? I hadn't seen that name on the list. I look forward to seeing Johnny Bower between the pipes again.
Yeah, these are all
not
names
that I've ever seen it before.
Yeah. And then there's a thing here where Ken Holland is actually going to be reaching out to more recent Detroit stars, Steve Yzerman, Sergei Fedorov, and Nicholas Lidstrom as well.
Oh, so they're stacking the team. I see.
Pretty much. Hey.
You put Sergei Fedorov, Steve Yzerman, Nick Lidstrom on the ice, they could probably kill off a 5-on-3 against most teams in the NHL today.
I don't think of those guys in old timer capacity yet, though.
Oh, that's because you're recently old, like me. We're just getting there now. The guys we're remembering as our childhood young stars, like Sergei Fedorov, they're retired.
Well, I think the best alumni game situation ever was back at the original, not Winter Classic, but the Heritage Classic. Back in 2003, where on the alumni team was Mark Messier, who was currently the captain of the New York Rangers.
Of course, of course.
At the time, so he's playing.
They also had Guy Carboneau in that game as well.
What was that?
I said they also had Guy Carboneau in that game as well, did they not?
I believe, yeah, he should have been there. But
yeah, I think he was playing for the Canadiens.
Yeah, Messier was still in the league.
That's fantastic.
He was
it had been 20 years. I mean, Messier played a while.
Yeah, so, you know, that's an interesting one. But obviously, you know, Steve Yzerman, I hope he can be there. I hope he can.
Oh, me too. And I'm sure he will make every effort to. I mean, he understands where he came from, and that Detroit organization has been very good to him over the years. I'm certain he will do the same for them.
Yeah, because it's not like Tampa Bay is playing that day.
No, that's true.
And I'm pretty sure he can take the day off from trying to make that team better, which I really hope they have a better season this year. I really do.
I think they will. I mean, they've got 85 defensemen.
That's true. They do. And one more thing, because I don't know if is O. Wells there?
He is not. I thought that was him, but he is supposed to be here any moment now.
All right.
So somebody else in a white Civic turning around.
That means you guys are probably going to have to leave soon. So
yeah, I've got to leave in the next couple minutes here. I still actually haven't even done a roster for our game yet tonight or any of the appropriate paperwork.
Well, we'll just throw it together as we get there. I just want one final thing from you in the world of the NHL that happened this week. Last night at the ESPY Awards, I'm going to call them your LA Kings.
All right, sure.
Actually won an ESPY Award by... winning best upset.
Absolutely.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I kind of still feel like it wasn't that much of an upset.
But it was. It was an 8 seed over a 1 seed handily. Handily.
Yeah, and then, you know, a 2 seed and a 3 seed. But I still think as soon as Daryl Sutter took over that team,
There's Wells right there.
Oh, well, there you go. But... I'm pretty sure if you check the record from the coaching change on, they were one of the best teams in the league. It's just that before the coaching change, they were the worst team in the league.
But that's what makes for an upset, right? I mean, this is a team that had no business being in the playoffs based on the first two-thirds of their season.
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's an upset because of where they were seeded, but it's just, it's hard to call it an upset when they so handedly, like just easily... walk through those playoffs.
Yeah, but maybe that's. I mean, and I think the result is probably what they're after there. And in terms of, listen, nobody thought that they were going to walk through the first 3 seeds of the playoffs, losing 2 games en route.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody was expecting that to happen. But still, I don't know. In the back of my mind, I'm still just sitting here going, like, really upset? Like,
I think my favorite part of the ESPY Award presentation had to be Dustin Penner looking like a drunk uncle up there. Didn't even button up his shirt, had the collar out over the coat, the tie was all loose. You know what? He looked like Brian Burke, is what he looked like.
I didn't actually see them. I just know that they were, in fact.
Oh, check it out. I'm pretty sure Dustin Penner had popped the champagne in the limo on the way there.
Yeah, did we talk about that Dustin Penner signing? I forget.
Yes, we did. Yeah, we hit that last week.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right.
All right, then.
Oh, man.
Well, right, that is my cue, and I am going to be out on that note. It is a pleasure, as always. Please send my best to Lisa and to anybody listening out there. Oh, I'm going to let Adam Wells take the microphone for just one moment. So I will see you, James, in a few hours, and anybody listening, I'll catch you next week.
And I want to apologize to anybody listening on that one. Mrs. Jameson just knocked my headphones out of the computer, which was the reason for all of that feedback right there.
I thought I was just talking double.
Nope, that wasn't you. That was all on Mrs. Jameson.
So,
all right. Well, here's O. Wells.
O. Wells himself.
What's up, Jameson?
Adam O. Wells. What's up, man?
Hey, had I known that Keegan was still going to be on for half the show, I might not have so easily relented in the letting you be solo tonight. Jeez.
Hey, you could have stopped by. You could have called. You know, you could have done a lot of things, but you didn't. But we're
you could have called too, man. Jeez, long distance for me, but for you, it's free. You're the host tonight.
That's true. I could have called you, but I didn't.
I know. My feelings are officially hurt.
Oh, that's what I was going for. So, what was your take on the Timu signing today?
Fantastic. What happened?
Oh, you didn't hear about it?
Dude, I've been so far removed from reality for the past week that I didn't hear about it.
Yeah,
I assume he re-signed in Anaheim?
He did. 1 year, $4.5 million.
So Saku's right on his shoulders too, I suppose?
I don't know. I'm sure
Saku... Well, anyway, all is well in Anaheim. Keep on trucking, Timu.
but why are you so far out from reality, man? You're not getting married yet. You guys still got like a month away.
Less than 1 month. 1 month ago. 1 month yesterday, and just with all the other stuff going on too. I'm sure our listeners, our faithful listeners and readers, have noticed that I haven't even posted anything in like 3 weeks. I'm an awful person.
You are an awful person, but
too much going on, man. I've got four hockey games and five nights, and
Four hockey games and five nights. So really what you're trying to tell me is that in about an hour and a half's time, you're not going to be very good.
Of course I am, because this is only my second one. We're going to win tonight.
Oh, we are going to win tonight.
Absolutely.
All right.
I can't be so sure for Friday night's game because, well, that'll be, you know, third game in three nights. And, well, in the words of Danny Glover, I'm too old for that shit.
Oh, hey, you know what? I would just like to point out, you're the first person to swear on the show.
Yeah, but I said that last week, actually, too. Well, not that same quote, but...
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I heard it in the playback. I listen to our shows every day after.
Man, now I have to go and I got to change the iTunes settings, change it to explicit.
I'm sorry. I'll never do that again. I apologize. I'm just a little excited, and I'm not in the whole show groove because, you know, I just walked into Keegan's basement and...
You sound like you're on something.
Sound like what?
You sound like you're on something.
I'm high on life, James. Anyway, I gotta go. I'm sure you are doing a fantastic job. I had it tuned in at home, but I was in and out because a friend was back from another country, so he dropped by. And yeah, well, keep it up, and I'll see you on the ice shortly.
That you will. I'm sure I'll leave in about, what time's the game at tonight? 10:30?
10:30, so I'll see you at 10:27.
Yeah, I'll probably leave it around 10:15, 10:20.
Send my regards to your fantastic family as well, buddy.
Alright, thanks a lot, man.
Later, bud.
All right, so that's Monsieur Adam Orson Wells and K. Ross Reed as well joining us via the telephone. Thank you guys for, joining me on this evening. We've got a whole studio packed right now, and by studio, I mean my living room. We've got my lovely wife, Mrs. Jameson, to the left of me.
Hello.
We've got my amazing child and... starer off into the distance extraordinaire, little Nate Dog, Nathan Foster.
Future star to Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, that we know. And that very quiet voice off in the distance is none other than the man himself, the living legend, the only man to play hockey at the age of 72 years old. Big Earn himself.
Smart Alec.
So yeah, we've got the packed house. We've got about another 50 minutes left, and you were listening earlier when K Ross was talking about the rink.
Hockey rink, yes.
And you can confirm that the thin layer of ice.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be. I used to spray it for the first couple times just to get that little coating on there so that it wouldn't crack and fall through, like he was saying. It's very important to go very slowly, thin layers upon thin layers. I'd go out three times a night, midnight even, to water the rink.
See, I don't remember too much of the Vala Circle rink. I remember that it was...
That was a big one.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
I don't remember the size of it, but I remember pictures and video of that thing being a really big one.
Yeah, that was a good size one.
That was a good one. Vowel Bay, not the biggest one, but we didn't have the biggest backyard there. It was a nice square.
Yeah, it was a rectangle, but it was...
It's questionable rectangle, I'll say, but you know, we had a good rink going. Not the most level thing in the world, but hey, you know.
It worked.
It was ice, and I could skate on it, and that's really all that mattered.
That's all that mattered.
And I don't have too many memories of the process of making it, but I know that you made them slightly more different than...
Remember the year I made it on St. Louis year?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that?
No, I don't think we ever did.
Oh, yes, I did, one year.
Okay, well, I wasn't here then. That was probably when I was living in Quebec City.
Might have been. I don't know. I think you were here.
We'll have to get
maybe
Matt.
Maybe one year.
If anyone's going to know, it'll be Matt.
It must have been before 2003.
Matt. No. Matt got all the goalie equipment on one night. And Steven was here, too.
Yeah, this was after 2003. This had to have been while I was in Quebec City.
Okay.
Easily.
I don't remember him ever doing it.
Yeah, well, I only did it one year. I only did the rink one year there, and it wasn't big because you know the backyard.
Yeah.
And that
but
was
so you do them a little differently than K-Ross does.
Well, I didn't put the paper down there.
Yeah, but you
packed the snow
down and then freeze that layer of snow.
Right.
How does that work out? How would you say that works out?
It's a slow process because it's not easy to get the snow all leveled off. Remember, I used to get you guys on standing on top of the shovel. I'd pull the shovel just to level it off.
Yeah,
that's how we used to do it.
I remember those days.
Then you have to fill in your footprints. It was not easy at all.
No, I'm sure it's not the easiest process at all.
But it worked every single year. It was a long, long process. But the way he says of putting down the paper first, that's a great idea. The plastic?
Yeah. Well, we were looking into that at one point for back here. But, you know, up until 3 weeks ago, well, 4 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we had a pretty terrible backyard here, not really able to make a rink, but now we got a nice blank canvas to work with. So we'll see what comes up with that. I'll definitely be posting pictures as that goes. But there's one thing that I remember with you, helping you specifically over on Vawa Bay when we made the rink 1 year over there. The hose didn't work because our hose was frozen or whatever. So I remember you were outside and I'd have to, you know, patch in a different hose into the sink that was in the basement.
Yeah.
But then one of the things that you always used, at one point in the process, you always needed a bucket of scalding hot water.
Yeah, hot water freezes faster than cold water. That's why if you look at the Molson Center, when the Zamboni goes...
Bell
Center?
Hasn't been the Molson Center in years.
Molson Center, Bell Center. Jeez.
At least you didn't play the Forum.
I almost did. That's what they use. It's hot water.
Yeah.
Because it freezes faster.
Yeah, you can see like the steam coming off of it.
The hot water, basically, the buckets of hot water was to fill in certain areas only.
But that's not going to melt the ice that's there?
No. It freezes. It'll freeze faster.
Really?
Yeah, it'll melt a tiny bit, but then the water you're putting on will freeze faster. So that means it go down maybe an eighth, but then build up a quarter. So you're coming out ahead in the long run. And then you just water it regular after that, and you're building it up.
Okay. That sounds logical. But do you use the really hot water to get it going, like even
no.
on top of the no, that you're just using the
ordinary water from the hose, put the thumb in there and squirt it like that.
Or you know,
I didn't use the nozzle.
Oh, you didn't use the
nozzle? Nope, never used the nozzles. I always use my thumb. You got to put it on a very light spray when you use the nozzle. So I just used my thumb
because
it was like a middle between the two sprays.
So as K-Ross said, you're really just kind of putting a mist on there.
That's all.
Just in the
just enough that you know it's going to freeze and you go from there. But yeah, if it's cold enough, you do. You try to do go out there every hour and a half and do some more. Every night, do 2-3 times a night for 3-4 nights in a row. You got ice.
And you would highly recommend the hot water.
No, you don't want to use the hot water unless you really have to. Just regular cold water. That's all you need.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were going out there.
No.
Because I remember you using a lot of hot water.
No. That was only certain spots there where it was really, really damaged and tore up and things like that. That's the only time I used the hot water on it. But I use cold water all the time. Just regular cold water to flood the ice. That's what they do with the parks.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing you got to worry about is freezing rain. You get a little snowfall, then you get freezing rain, you got to start from scratch again.
Really? You can't just pile on top?
Now you got bumps like crazy.
Yeah, but if
snow.
Yeah, but if you flood over that little bit like right there.
Yeah, but you got the snow that wasn't really packed down, and then you got freezing rain.
So you go out.
And it's really.
So you go out with a good scraper.
You got to have a very good scraper, yes.
Well, any metal plow.
But one year was great that we had the freezing rain because I just started the rink.
Oh, so it froze.
And
the
then
snow.
We had it was just starting to freeze, and then we had the freezing rain. And the next day it was perfect, so I didn't have to spray anymore. I just flooded.
Yeah,
because that's when it really really helped was that freezing rain right at the beginning to help the rink get going. Perfect.
So once you have that. Original base because you've made
you've made
a lot of rinks in your time.
You're fine. As soon as it snows, you clear it off. Once the snow is cleared, if you have freezing rain, it's not
yeah.
Gonna
so so once
anymore.
You have once you have that nice, we'll say finished layer underneath, like after you've missed it a couple nights here and there, can you just then go flood it with like the 4 inches of water that I was saying, or
never
is that never a good idea?
Water.
Well, fine, like maybe like an inch.
Not even an inch.
No.
Just to cover what's on there. That's all you do. You just cover it a layer that's already on there. So you maybe get an eighth of an inch. And then you go back and you do another eighth of an inch.
Okay.
Then you go skating. There you go. You just flood it tiny bit at a time. You're going to really, like he says, 2-on-2. Then you're going to have to do it a little bit more. But like I said, you can't go 4 inches. Because the top will freeze before the bottom.
Like he said, and then you get
that's
like
why
a
you
puddle.
Gotta go like an eighth of an inch at a time. That's why you just flood over the top of it. You can see it's gonna be all wet and like shiny. You know you're done in that area. Move on to the next area, and that's what you gotta do. Is you put the hose and can't put the hose right down on the ice unless you're moving it around, because the minute you leave it there, it digs a hole right in the ice. So you got to keep it going and just keep flooding that one section and just keep doing section after section until you got the whole thing done. And that's it. Then repeat.
Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat.
In all of your years, which is a lot, making rinks.
Yeah.
Well, how many rinks do you think you've made in total?
Let's see, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay. Have you ever, I remember the ones at Valois Circle, they had small boards.
Yes.
What kind of wood was that?
They were like 1x4.
Those were like knee high, not even.
Not even. They were really tiny boards. They were like maybe 6 inches high at the most.
I remember them being bigger.
No, I don't.
Because you were smaller.
Yeah, you were smaller. That's why they were only about 6 inches high, and I had them pegged down with pegs, like he was saying. But that was the only year I actually did boards.
I only did one.
Yeah, most of the time what I did is I just put a 2x4 behind each net.
Okay.
So that the puck would miss the net, it hit the boards, it wouldn't go flying. The sides, I just freeze the snow.
Oh, so they were like frozen boards.
Frozen boards, basically, yes.
Okay. I've seen that before.
Yeah, it's not the greatest. It'd be better. It would have been better if I at least put two by fours in the sides for the puck. So, you know, while it's on the ice, it would bounce off the boards. That's what I should have done, at least.
So when I'm making my boards here in the back, what would you suggest?
4-foot-high boards.
Yeah, I'm looking...
4-foot-high boards.
I am looking for at least...
plexiglass all around, behind the net, the big netting to sort of... When you take your normal slap shot and it goes way over the net, over the glass, it'll catch, stop it so it doesn't break the neighbor's windows.
So you just basically want me to make an NHL rink in the back?
No, just scale it down a little bit.
Fine, a 1/4.
There you go.
NHL rink. But what wood would you suggest using back there?
What are you going to use? Are you using a puck?
Yeah. That's usually what you use in hockey.
Yeah, well.
A puck.
It depends.
We won't be using beach balls, that's for sure.
Well, maybe tennis balls, rubber puck. You know, your nets are not designed for... hockey pucks.
Well, they will be.
Oh, you're getting new nets?
Well, I'm going to reinforce the nets that are there. Because the framing is fine. It's just the netting that needs to be fixed.
I've got nets for sale. You want to buy them?
No, I don't. How many do you have? Two?
Two. Identical.
Really?
Yes.
The ones that Matt used to use?
Who said anything about Matt? I said, I have two nets.
Oh, those.
No. The ones Matt had.
Okay. Because I'm going to need
them.
They're
brand new.
Yeah, I'm going to need those.
They're brand new. They're tubes and tubes and everything. They'd be perfect for
it. I'm going to need those this weekend, actually.
What for?
For fun.
For soccer.
Soccer, hockey, whatever.
They're in the back. You have to come and get them because I can't reach them.
That's fine. Whoa.
Too much crap in my house, and I wish somebody would finish his basement so he could take it home.
Yeah. There's nothing like using a radio show here to just discuss family matters. Awesome. what kind of wood would you use to make the boards? If you know the kind of boards that I'm thinking of making here, like waist high, real, and we will be using a real puck.
Use the particle board. That's what I do. That's what I would do. Just for you guys at the back here.
Yeah.
Just a particle board, plywood.
Really?
What are you going to use? That's for the sides. You might want to use something maybe a little stronger in the back, behind the net. But the sideboards, that's all you need.
I'm going to run into them to stop when I'm skating around.
You can skate, don't worry. Nate's going to go wild this winter, eh?
This winter? I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take him skating. You build the rink, I'm going to take him skating. It'll be 6 months. He'll be perfect for skates.
Well, this year we're not going to have the permanent one.
We're sitting on one skate and just being pushed around.
Next year he'll be a year and a half, and it's time to put him on skates.
Yeah, that's next year. That's not this winter. So, you just added a full year.
So I can still...
I'm fine with him skating.
I'll manage with him skating this year. Don't worry about it.
Grandpa's crazy.
You're saying that on the radio. Come on.
Yeah, hey, you should hear some of the stuff that I say about you when you're not here.
Yeah, I know. I can imagine.
Have you ever painted lines?
No.
No, you've never done that?
We tried 1 year with tomato juice.
Really?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Somebody said tomato juice would be perfect. So we took a paintbrush and opened a big can of tomato juice and we painted the line. It looked great, but then the morning, it's all over the place.
Oh, really?
It diluted everywhere? Diluted and went every which way. But we tried that.
Well, when you painted it, did you put water in after?
What do you mean?
Well, like, did you paint it and then let that freeze?
No. Yeah, that's what we did.
And then added water?
No, not till the next day.
Oh, okay.
But by that time, it all just doesn't freeze as fast. That's why it just...
I'm
next
curious.
Time you have to heat it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I have
put
to
tomato
something.
Soup.
Yeah.
Tomato soup.
Hey, maybe that's what it is.
I really don't think tomato soup is the answer. I'm no expert on this one, but I am pretty sure tomato soup is not the answer.
We have plenty of paint downstairs. You can actually paint it.
Yeah.
Would paint really be...
I don't know.
Because I'm also thinking, though, if I have the permanent base underneath, we can just paint on top of the concrete or whatever it is that we're going to put as the base.
You're not going to put the concrete down.
Oh, no?
No, not yet.
What do you think?
Go with the plastic.
Yeah, but what are you going to do in the summer?
What do you mean, what are you going to do in the summer?
It's supposed to be like a driveway area for him to play.
It's going to be what?
It's supposed to be a full-time, all-year, two-on-two rink. Winter ice hockey, summer ball hockey.
Oh, okay.
So if you put down the plastic...
Yeah, you're not doing that this year.
Well, no. Okay. Not this year. But that's kind of what this whole thing is about, because, you know, we were looking at the backyard the other day trying to figure out how to do it.
You don't know how to do it?
Well, like, what's the best route to go for the base?
Why don't you ask your old coach?
No, well, that's the thing. He put down the square patio stones, and then, as Keegan just said right there...
Who put down the square patio? Who are you talking about?
Perlini.
Oh, okay. He did. Yeah. I didn't know if you were...
That's where my idea is from.
The square patio stones?
Yes.
I thought he asphalted.
No.
Oh.
They were square patio stones, and that's where I got that idea from.
Yeah, but for ball hockey, that's no good.
Ball hockey,
hockey's no good.
No, roller hockey, that's no good at all.
And ball hockey's no good because you never...
Hockey was okay for... It wasn't the greatest, but, you know, and that's why I was saying, well, you put down those and then maybe grout in between and put a thin layer on top so that it's all level and flat. But as K. Ross was saying in his earlier segments, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
It's not going to be nearly as easy as I think it is.
No, it's not. It's going to be very tough. Because to put down all those blocks, that 20 by 40, you're building the range?
50 by 21.25.
That's a lot of blocks there to get everyone even. That is going to be tough. Very tough.
Because the other thing that I was thinking was
a long process.
I have no doubt that's a long process. And I'm thinking, obviously, the easier process of the whole thing is, you know, we tear up the grass that's back there. The backyard is fairly level, as is.
Yeah.
So I want to dig down like 3-4 inches, pack that down so make sure that's level, bring in a whole bunch of stone, put the stone down so it's got like a pretty good base. But then at that point with this idea, you're maybe talking maybe you have to get some rebar because then you're just kind of cementing the whole thing so it's one nice... flat, smooth cement, because the cement shouldn't be too hard to level.
No, the cement isn't going to be hard to level. It's just the idea is you got to make sure you got a proper base there that in the wintertime, when you know if your cement or concrete is not deep enough with frost on the ground, that could move.
Yeah.
And that's the idea.
That's why I'm really hoping that there is somebody listening. Right now.
Put all that
who knows?
Crushed stone, and then if everything shifts, then you've got a cement backyard that's crooked. So that's where that could be a big problem.
I'm hoping there's, a foundation guy or somebody who's listening right now who's going, oh, man, I got it. I know how to do this for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, give me a nice quote. I'll plug your company like mad on the show. I'll even try and plug you on my actual radio gig.
The guy should probably do and advertise that the guy's going to do it for free for you.
Yeah, free. That's not happening.
And you will advertise homemade rinks through your site.
If somebody...
And he can drum up business.
Because ultimately, that's essentially what I'm trying to do here, is get almost a house foundation.
Yeah, but you know how deep a house foundation has to go, so...
Quite a bit.
Yeah, so you...
And I can't make a rink that deep.
No.
So how deep do I have to go before I start messing with the frost line here?
That's right. You've got to...
Do I have to go down like 2-3 feet?
I don't know.
Because if I just cement on top,
will that stay or will it
shift? Will it shift and crack?
You've got to find out from somebody who knows the concrete.
Oh, man.
I think eventually it's always going to move. Because you look at driveways, they go pretty far down, and they always end up getting unlevel, no matter what they do.
Yeah. That's driveway, that's asphalt, but still.
Well, asphalt and the unistone also.
Yeah, the unistone moves everything. Move. Everything moves.
Everything.
Yeah. That's why it's going to be a long, hard, costly expense for something like that.
We have to win the lottery.
Yeah.
And then...
If you win the lottery, then the decision's made.
Yeah, it'll be super easy.
Because then
after
you
won't
buy those tiles that you can actually skate on.
Then we can
then
get
you
that
don't
too.
Even have to water. And you got them all year long where you can skate.
Yeah, but I want to
use
the
don't like those
for
things,
basketball
though.
Stuff too, though.
Basketball.
I don't like those.
You don't like those?
I don't like the idea of those. Oh. The synthetic ice.
Yeah.
Plus, that wouldn't work here. I don't think those. Was that?
Those freezing tubes. So that, like in Quebec City, that they have at the outdoor rink underneath the rink.
Get a real.
So that it
a real hockey rink.
Yeah. Geez.
There you go, Lisa.
You know, obviously, if we win the lottery here. Everything's going to be super easy. One of the things that I was debating with a plumber friend, which was a good idea to debate with him because he's a plumber, was the whole drainage issue. Because if I'm getting these boards set up, right, and I've got a concrete base,
okay,
where's the water going to go when it melts? It's all sealed up.
You put a little hole in the boards.
That's where we were debating. What's the best way to drain it at that point? Is it drilling a hole in the boards? Because if I have to go down a foot so that we don't hit so that we're below the frost line or whatever it is, then like will that drain properly?
No, then you know you gotta. Use a sun pump and clean all that stuff.
Well, this is what I was trying to think. And then we actually had, I don't know what, is he an engineer?
I don't know who he is. Yeah,
we had an engineer friend with us. So we had myself, a radio DJ, and complete idiot.
Yeah, I believe that.
With a plumber and an engineer.
Yeah.
Debating how to drain my permanent structured hockey rink in the backyard.
Did they come up with a solution?
Actually, they kind of did. Because,
there you go.
Because I'm going to run the idea past you, and you can let me know what you think of this.
Well, they're the experts. I don't know.
I was thinking of putting a drain at center ice. Like an actual drain with like the whatever cap there that the
like
water
the
can
pool.
Then go down. But
like
that's obviously going to... What?
Like a swimming pool.
Kind of like a shower drain or something like that. You know, whatever.
Hey, we're doing a show. hey, we're doing a show right now. I know you want to be on the show, but you're overpowering everybody.
All righty. So I wanted to put the drain there, but the problem is, you know, I threw that idea out, and everyone was like, yeah, okay, that'll work. But then we all kind of collectively, well, we'll say the engineer came up with it first.
Yeah.
Give him credit. Might have been the plumber. I know it wasn't me. One of them just realized the water's going to melt from the top first.
Yeah.
So your top layer is going to melt, and you're still just going to be laying on top of layers of ice. So it's not even going to get to the drain just yet. So now the engineer is like, okay, well, now what if you were to run a wire from the house and get heat sinks to put them underneath the drain? What?
Just take a pick, go to center ice and pick the ice out. Then you've got a hollow.
Well, he's an engineer. He likes to make things more complicated than
Just take an axe and chop up the ice at center. It'll drain right into it right away. That's a lot cheaper than getting wires and stringing wires.
Yeah, but it's going to be a lot cooler if you just flip a switch and it starts melting.
Yeah. Very a lot cheaper, too.
But do you think the drain at center ice would be an okay idea? Because if we have to, but because if we have to dig that down,
drain where?
Well, yeah. If we have to drain that out, and it's at center ice, and we're underground, where do we put that drain? Because it has to be on a slope to actually drain. Where are we going with all this?
You're gonna have to build a French drain down there.
You're gonna build a French drain for my hockey rink.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Where's it gonna go?
I don't know.
If you just put a tube there, and you got no place for it to go, it's not gonna go anywhere.
I know. Well, like, I was going to hopefully just drain it into a neighbor's backyard, but...
Yeah, right.
That's probably not going to be a good idea.
No.
We could probably drain that. Well, it all depends on how do we have to dig and how far down, I think.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
Let me see if I can...
I don't think that's going to work at all.
No?
No.
The drain, you don't think that'll work?
No. How thick do you figure you're going to make your ice, by the way?
I don't know.
4 inches? Are you nuts?
Even more, the cement would be thicker than the ice.
Your ice isn't going to be that thick.
I know.
You're talking 4 inches there a minute ago, you're saying.
Well, yeah, but we still have to put a layer of concrete down.
No, but I'm talking the actual ice. For the rink is going to be how thick do you figure that's going to be?
I don't know. Kairos was talking something about 8 to 10 inches.
You know how you wouldn't have enough time in the winter to make an 8-inch thick. Are you who's Kairos at 8 inches?
Something like that. All right, so doing a little bit
There's
of research
no
here.
Way.
Some of the. Depending on your area, the frost line is looking anywhere from 6 to 12 inches.
6 to 12 inches deep.
That's what I'm seeing here. Not 100% sure.
So you have to go below frost line. So if it's 6 to 12.
Oh, wait. Here in Montreal, however, the frost line depth for Montreal is... 4.5 inches. Oh, wait, no. Whoa.
Inches?
No, that is not. That is
feet.
It's 4.5 feet.
Yeah. 4 feet. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Look where your window is in the basement and how deep it is from the window down.
Yeah, no, it's 4.5 feet.
Yes.
So does that mean I got to dig 4.5 feet to make my rink?
Well, if you don't want the cement to crack.
Really?
You'd have to do, well, like the footings. You'd have to do the footings that deep and then... How deep was the cement? Well, they didn't do a cement. They just did the walls like that. But then you got to figure, once you get the depth of the walls for your rink, then you can just put the other cement like that on top, and it won't matter. Because the walls are going to hold it.
So I have to make the border...
4.5 feet deep.
4.5 feet deep.
Yeah, like you're digging a basement. That's why I said you should have just flood your basement.
Yeah, we're not going to just flood the basement. Then we don't have a basement.
The drain is there.
Actually, the drain kind of sucks sometimes.
But the drain is there. You're not using it. You still have the other part of your basement. All you got to do is get the guy over and just put the wires down and flood that, and then you're all set.
Yeah, but then he never has a... actual studio.
Yeah, but then I don't have a room in the basement, which
like that,
we lose out
like
on.
That matters.
It does. Hey, that's where this one wants me to put all my hockey equipment one day.
Well, that's just where the sump pump is. That's where your office is going.
No, you're messing up the floor plan down there. So we're talking quite a bit deep if I wanted to.
Yeah,
is there any other way that I could get a concrete base without having to go down?
I don't know. You have to speak to somebody, an expert, to say, look, can you...
You mean you're not an expert?
Can you just put crushed stone and put cement over it? And is it going to last? Is it going to move?
I wonder. If you happen to be listening to the show and you're a contractor or a dude that builds foundations for homes, hit us up on the Facebook right now. I don't really feel like giving out my phone number. Actually, you know what? Let's give out the house phone number, because that thing's totally going in like 2 weeks anyway.
I don't answer it, though.
Actually, I don't even know if we have a phone that's got battery or a ringer turned on. But hey, if you know a way to... if you know a way for me to do this, you can give me a call right now, 514-538-1022. No one's calling yet, so clearly nobody knows a good way to do this. But yeah, if you want to, if you're listening to this on, say, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, any other day of the week, you can always email us at, info@offthecrossbar.com or James@offthecrossbar.com and let me know if you potentially have a quote to help me do this. Because I know I'm not the first dude in Canada that wants to do this.
Dude.
There's got to be other people somewhere that have done this, specifically in Canada, where it gets cold.
Should be a number of places. That guy that built one in Edmonton.
That wasn't permanent.
That wasn't permanent?
No, that was only in the winter.
Ah, too bad.
Yeah, no. That was a really nice one, too.
Yeah.
that one was coupled with him and a friend.
Yeah.
They
covered the 2 yards. They merged the back fence down. And they had it perfectly painted like the Edmonton Oilers.
It was very nice.
Their lawn tractor changed it into a Zamboni.
it was very nice. I enjoyed that one greatly. But so... The whole question here is, like, you're going to let me do this. You're going to let me, like, destroy half of our backyard.
I was a lot more keen on it before the lawn was done. Now the lawn is there. It looks so pretty. That makes me second guess it. But I do like the idea of having it, especially for when this guy gets a little bit bigger, that I know he's playing, rather than in the driveway or in the street, he's playing securely in our backyard, and I can see it while I'm working through the windows. So for me, it's more of a security for our little guy that I really enjoy having it. And we still have a lot of backyard left, even with that size of a rink. So
we do. We'll still have, like, 25 by 50.
25?
Well, of lawn. Plus the deck as well. We'll also have a 12-foot by...
We'll have a 12 by 35-foot deck.
And 20 by 50 lawn.
I'd say 25 by 50.
25
that way. We have 60 feet back there with right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so if we're only using 12 for the deck, I'm using 21 for the rink... Give or take 2 feet in the back.
To go around the ring.
Maybe 4 feet if we don't get rid of that tree.
Yeah.
You're still looking at least 20 feet of lawn.
No, that's not that much.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
20 foot is not big.
It's by 50.
Forget the by 50. You want 50 by 60.
Why?
So he can run.
Well, right now we have 55 by 60.
Eh?
Right now we have 55 by 60.
Well, there you go.
Or 52 and a third. Or 53, whatever it was that you said.
53.
It's supposed to be 55.
Yeah.
I think we got a couple.
I think with the fences, it ends up being 53 or something.
But he'll have plenty of space to run around, because we do still have, like, the small area on the side of the house. Right there. Plus the...
plus the front yard. Plus all the green space around.
Yeah, plus the parks. The dog run, all them. So we've got... yeah, obviously this is going to be a judgment call from the missus over here as to whether or not she does. But I'm thinking...
Not for a couple of years.
I'd say within the next two.
It all depends on how much this thing costs.
Yeah, that's another thing. Yeah.
It really is a cost thing at this point.
Hey, if anybody wants to get me a deal or know somebody who can...
Then you can come play on it.
Hook me up. I will put your advertisement on the boards. I will paint your logo at Center Ice. This rink brought to you by everyone will know. I will advertise your company like mad if you feel like helping me out and making this rink. But I'm thinking digging down a little bit, crush stone, then paving over that with, let's go with cement, concrete. What's really the difference?
I have no idea.
Which is the one that still has little bits of stone in it?
Concrete.
Okay, so then
cement's
we're going
supposed to be like
smooth.
Smooth.
Yeah, okay, so then we're going with cement. And as my plumber friend says, it'll be expensive. He says that stuff is fairly expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And everything's going to be expensive for the size of the rink that we plan on making.
Yeah.
Hey, we're doing a show. What's up with the sneezing?
But I figure if we get that done, obviously put some rebar in there, strengthen it up a little bit. If it does, because I don't think it'll have huge cracks or anything like that after one season or anything like that, in like one freeze.
You don't know.
Well, no, I don't know, but the cracks shouldn't be too big.
It's where you got to find out.
But then I'm thinking if we can do that, then every summer it'll just be a matter of patching it up and then it'll be good to go for the summer.
Yeah, could be.
Right? That sounds logical. See, now we have a cat going. This studio is the least soundproof studio on the planet. It's 9:45. I'll take. Ow! Thank you for stepping on my feet. I'll take the little duder over here because it's kind of semi all for him that we're doing that rink in the back. I'd say. Yeah, now that he's here, it's all for him.
Yeah.
And then it's easy to blame him.
You were doing it anyways.
It's easy to...
But now you got a better reason to do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because here's the question that I got for you.
Yeah.
What if he hates hockey?
You're in trouble.
What if he grows up and he hates hockey?
That's a possibility.
And he can't stand it. What if Lisa gets her way and he doesn't want to play hockey?
Said
that. It's a possibility.
What if he's into basketball?
He better be tall. Or really darn good.
Because then, you know, building a hockey rink in the backyard, you're like, oh, well, what was that for?
Well, then you put the two basketball bets in on
yeah,
top
I
of
guess,
the rink.
I guess we could do that. And what do you think? Plexiglass? Netting, chicken wire fence, or nothing on top of the boards. I'm thinking plexiglass would be a lot of money.
You think?
cookies. Yeah, the attention span when I'm alone, slim to none. He's staring at me right now, really awfully.
He's did it before, I was staring at you.
So we've got a Men with No Name game coming up in about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
K Ross and Adam are at the rink right now. I should totally call one of them on their cell phone and see what's up. That'd be really fun.
You were getting back to what plexiglass or what?
I'm thinking chicken wire.
You played in an arena with chicken wire, remember that?
I did. I played in a converted barn.
It was a converted barn. Their bench was horse stalls.
Yeah.
Remember?
That's where we got dressed in horse stalls.
Yeah.
That was the dressing room. The benches were benches, which I'm pretty sure might have just been like pig troughs turned upside down.
It could have been.
I'm pretty sure it was.
But the doors were for stalls, for horse stalls.
Oh.
Yeah. They just made them a tiny bit smaller, but that was it. That was a converted barn into an arena.
Zamboni was a tractor.
For a reason goal.
Chicken wire glass.
No.
And by glass, I mean no glass. It was actual chicken wire.
On the sides.
Yeah.
Behind the net, though, they did have plexiglass.
Yeah, they had like four panels of plexiglass.
That's right. The rest was all chicken wire all around the arena was chicken wire instead of glass. It was hysterical.
Well, that's where I got the idea from that arena specifically,
right.
Thinking, hey, it worked there.
Hey,
it could kind of work here.
Albany, New York, or right near Albany, New York.
On the outskirts.
Yeah, on the outskirts of Albany. Look at him staring at me now.
Not to say that Albany isn't already on the outskirts of civilization, but imagine going further than that, and that's where we played.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere.
It was.
And we had to share a room with the other team.
Yeah.
That would never fly. I think we were, what, 13 at the time?
No, you weren't that old.
Yeah.
You were with Daryl.
Yeah. Like you're Adam Double B.
Yeah, Adam is what level? How old is Adam?
Like 11, 12, 13 maybe?
Really?
Well, I'm trying to think. I didn't play in grade 8. I didn't play hockey that year. And that was, what year was I in grade 8?
98.
So I would have been 14 at that time. So
14 is bantam.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. So I would have been 14 at that point, and that was my second year peewee at 14. So first year peewee, 13, so 12 years old.
Yeah, okay.
So I wasn't far off with my assumption of 13.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm sure some of the guys on the team that year were 13.
Yeah.
So, you know, 12, 13-year-olds, I think that's the only time that you could probably get away with making two opposing teams share a dressing room.
Yeah, after that, they'd kill each other.
I don't think it would work for the random men with no name games that we got going on. Oh, is somebody joining the show?
Hey, Nathan.
Nope.
What do you want to say?
Nope, you know, he's good. He's good. He doesn't like my yelling in his ears, though.
No.
So, yeah, that's pretty much been the show for this evening. This was kind of my content for the week because I just didn't feel like doing it recorded beforehand. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to take over the show because the other two guys are going to be too lazy to come join me.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to take it over, and I'm going to do my regular audio cast live.
There you go.
But we only usually get about a handful of live listeners anyway. But I want a big thank here to everybody.
Did you say that? Who did you? We're talking about a defenseman that signed the contract.
Vlasic.
Vlasic.
Yep.
Okay.
You know Vlasic.
Well, I don't know him. I know his father because I played with his father. His father was a great defenseman.
His dad, really nice guy. What are you kicking over there, by the way?
Your laptop.
Please stop doing that because if you haven't noticed, the microphone is on the same table as the laptop.
I know. I'm not touching it.
Yes, I know, but you kicking the laptop goes through the microphone.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you played hockey with his dad.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Super
I played hockey with his dad, too.
Did you play with him?
Yes, I did.
When he played that year?
Yes.
That summer? Yeah, I thought it was you.
I played multiple games with him.
Yeah, you and Steven both played with him.
Yeah. I never played with Steven.
Oh. Oh, he might have left by that point.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've the only time that I ever played a game with Steven might have been a handful of times, but the first real game was in Toronto. That was it.
Okay. No, you played one summer.
I may have played one game with him or whatever like that. But chances are I was on the black team anyway.
Yeah, you were. You were always a game.
Because I was always on the black team.
That's right.
You were the best.
You were the best. Remember the first game you played with them?
Yeah, I didn't come off the ice and I scored 8 goals.
You told me 9.
Whatever. I don't want to brag.
That's because that was the first week after I had to stop playing.
Yeah. After he had to retire for old age, his pension had kicked in, and they wouldn't let him do it after 68 years old.
Yeah, right.
They made him stop. She's so big now. Oh, my God. We're looking at pictures of a friend's daughter. Oh, my God. She's, like, in her teens almost, it looks. That's going to be him soon, right there. But yeah, no, you know Vlasic's dad. What
yeah.
do you think of the contract?
Why not?
One a quarter?
Well, he was making 3-something. He's going to get a raise.
Yeah, but he hasn't done anything.
He's not a bad defenseman. He's not scoring goals. So I know
that, but
terrible.
Still, like, she's only 5.
Wow.
see how distracted I get?
Look at the drafts this year, the NHL draft. What was the most popular thing was defensemen.
8 of the first 10 people were picked. Were all defensemen.
All defensemen.
The only ones to not pick a defenseman were Edmonton and Montreal.
Yeah.
Everyone else picked a defenseman.
Yeah. So there you go.
So why am I not playing in the NHL yet?
You're not a good defenseman.
I'm a fantastic defenseman. Just ask the crossbar zone, Adam O. Wells.
In your own mind, you're a good defenseman.
In my own mind, I'm the world's greatest defenseman.
Yeah.
And I do a good enough job to make the NHL. So I will be waiting for my contract. I would like to think that I'm going to be the next off-the-board draft pick.
Well,
although I don't even think I'm eligible for the draft at this point. I think I'm too old.
I think you're too damaged.
Yeah, I think you're damaged.
No.
You're very damaged.
Your chances of getting another concussion are way too high.
No.
There'd be no point in giving you money. You go one game, get a concussion, be out for the next 2 years.
Now.
2 years.
2 years? I don't rest 2 years.
A vegetable for.
Are you kidding me?
Quite a while.
2 years? I do not rest on 2 years. Like 2 weeks. I'll be good to go.
Yeah, but it's a little bit more competitive out there, so.
Yeah.
You have to take it a little easier.
Beer league hockey, surprisingly very dirty at times.
Whatever gave you that idea?
Well, the fact that a guy stepped on my leg last week. I got home and we were about to go to sleep and I was like, oh my God, my leg really hurts. I couldn't figure out why. And I looked down at my leg and I have a scar, which is a cut, which, you know, whatever. Like this nice cut on my leg, which is two very thin lines that close together, the exact width of a skate blade.
But
all on my leg right there. What was that?
You only actually saw it the next day. When the lights came back on.
Well, no, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning that night.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your days are all just messed up since this guy was born. You don't know what's day, what's afternoon. And
yeah, I know you told me the guy stepped on you on purpose.
I don't know if he stepped on me on purpose, but guy stepped on me on my leg and cut me. I was very surprised. Oh. I didn't really realize it until well later on.
They were after you, that's for sure.
Yeah, some beer league full contact hockey last game that my wife does not like to hear about.
Nope.
No, she doesn't like to hear about that at all.
Okay.
Let's see. Exactly how much time we've got left in the show. You know what? Let's just end it early.
Yeah.
You know what? We're going to end this show early. Very sorry to anybody who really wanted to hear the whole 2 hours of me by myself rambling about who knows what. Hey, thanks to everybody who came out tonight. Mrs. Jameson, thanks for being here.
As if she's going to go somewhere else.
She could have gone and watched something on Netflix, which would have probably killed my internet connection, and so the Skype call probably would have dropped. So thanks for not doing that. Big thanks to K-Ross for showing up to his own show. Congratulations, colleague of you. Hey, I called him. Let's not forget that. Big thanks to Adam O'Wells, the goalie who has been, well, not really here lately.
He's going to be tired.
Oh, he's going to be death tired tonight. It'll be interesting to see. Playing the Mighty Ducks. They're the other team. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, one of the guys on this street plays on the team.
Really?
Yep. Totally. I used to work with him, too.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I was having him on the show, but then I'd have to call him and talk to him. And who wants that? Big Earn, you showed up.
Yes, I did.
You showed up. Thanks. You going to come to hockey now?
Yes. Do I miss hockey?
Sometimes.
I barely. How many games have I missed? I missed one lousy game so far.
Well, you missed half the game that Eric played with us.
Well, that's what happened.
Go on.
No, I think I wasn't feeling good.
Oh, yeah, you weren't feeling good. You went, Yeah, you know, when you get to be his age, the aches and pains, they just don't stop.
I thought it was more watching you play.
Nah, I'm awesome.
Since you were a kid, I barely missed 10 games.
Oh, I'm sure you've missed more than that.
No.
And biggest of thanks to the one and only, the reason why we're all here, little Nate Dogg right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, right here in my arms. He's sleeping actually now.
I will not miss a game if he plays.
If he plays. We'll have to wait and see if he plays.
He'll play. He just better get me tickets.
It's been decided.
For
Nate
NHL.
Dogg. Nate Dogg is playing. And he's going to make the NHL. All right, so you heard it here first.
For the Red Wings.
You heard it here first.
For the Detroit Red Wings.
That's not going to happen. But until then, thank you so much for joining us, and you guys have all just gone off the crossbar.
Go pack your bags.
You didn't actually end early, so I don't know why you said you were going to move.